Late night on the 12th of November, police in Portland, Oregon tried and failed to evict Occupy Portland from Chapman Square. Thousands of additional protesters descended on the park, and riot police found themselves surrounded. As the midnight eviction deadline approached, protesters counted down the last 10 seconds before the confrontation.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'd say about 2,000, easy. Yeah, it's impressive. I really didn't expect that many people to turn out, but it's amazing and really inspiring. So I think the police are gonna have a hard time moving us out of this place tonight. I don't know how they're gonna do it. So hopefully we can wake up tomorrow morning and see it as a victory. You know, the people have spoken and...
Riot police retreated by dawn, but police interrupted the General Assembly in Chapman Square shortly after noon, setting off a whole afternoon of street confrontations. At one point, a tent was pitched on Main Street at 4th on West Side.
Subsection B, Chapman Square is closed for repair. Please immediately leave.
Neither surrounding the park nor threats of fire, tear gas, and impact weapons were successful against determined opposition. While protesters used mostly nonviolent resistance, the police were anything but nonviolent. At least 17 people were reportedly arrested, although another report said only one person was arrested. Occupy Portland's American Sign Language interpreter Justin was beaten and choked unconscious by police. The next day he reported no feeling in his right leg and was unable to use one arm, a serious problem for sign language interpretation. The police claimed that a cop also wound up in the hospital after being hit with an unspecified projectile. A Twitter post claimed he picked up an aggressive infection, MRSA, which is known to be one mostly transmitted inside hospitals. Unfortunately, some of the protesters most committed to the concept of nonviolence themselves shoved the alleged bottle thrower towards the police, which, because police are violent, is not a nonviolent act. By the end of the day, with police exhausted from a day of street confrontations after the previous night's failed eviction attempt, protesters were able to march to Pioneer Square near the courthouse without further violent opposition. Although there were reports of the authorities erecting fences around the parks, remember that when Parcel 42 was occupied by a far smaller crew in D.C. last year, the fences there added to the defense of the tent city instead of preventing it. After Saturday night's failed eviction attempt, Occupy Portland organizer Jim Oliver called the defense a victory over the police, telling the Associated Press, quote, "We stood up to state power." Early morning on Monday, the 14th of November, the police attacked Occupy Portland in Chapman Square for the third time, reportedly arresting 20 people, but this time without violence. This, of course, means the previous day's park clearance was only temporary, and all those protesters who had been driven into the streets simply took the park back when police left. What makes Mayor Adams think this cannot be sustained forever? Also Monday morning, a number of news stories appeared claiming that three men claiming to be affiliated with Occupy Portland had been arrested with anything from explosives to mortars. One of the stories had a picture, though, and the so-called mortar turned out to be fireworks, not military hardware. As this is being written, protesters are marching around and around both Lonsdale and Chapman Squares, which are fenced off, much as Parcel 42 was right here in D.C. in July 2010. A 7 p.m. General Assembly will decide where to set up next, but as the Occupy Portland website announced on Monday, quote, "We're still here!" Sunday afternoon, Portland's Mayor Adams essentially admitted defeat in a press conference, saying that, quote, "Giving the order that the parks will be closed to the public is putting my foot down. Enforcing will take time." Talk is cheap, but as of the time of that press conference, Occupy Portland controlled the park and he did not. The East Bay Express has gone so far as to ask whether or not a forcible eviction of Occupy Portland is even possible. Strong statement indeed from the corporate media. Once again, a police effort to rid a city of its Occupy movement has ended in failure, and no doubt the tents and equipment will be quickly replaced in either Pioneer Square, Chapman Square, both, or yet another location. Fences are no deterrent unless the police can afford to guard the parks 24/7.
We saw an event come to the brink, and it ends up after the end of the night. One policeman gets hurt, one person gets arrested. There's no other city in the country that had something go that far and walk away like that. The people being back here, this is a win. This is a victory for these people. It's a victory for the movement. It's a victory for all these people been down here.
The mayor said that he said we can't have the parks. But he said that the people of Portland have kind of spoken and said that they don't want it to be violent like the other cities. So they aren't going to use the same tactics. They're not going to attack us out of nowhere, things like that. He did say they want to build a fence around the park and that it is close to the public. Yeah, we're going to clean up our mess if we can, if they don't kick us out. It's the people's park. It's my park. It's your park. We want to leave it great. You know, we never planned to leave this place trashed unless they forced us out, and then we would have no choice.